from the book of Mark, chapter 1. We'll start with the 40th verse. While you're turning, I do want to say those that helped us yesterday in the work day, we got a lot accomplished, and I appreciate your work. Thank you so very much. Brother Bacon got over here, came from work over here, didn't even go to bed. He worked all night and then came work till afternoon. And I appreciate that. I appreciate everything we did. We got a lot accomplished. We still have some to do. But we need to rent some equipment. Brother Neil has said he'd help us to finish that up. And so we'll be letting you know it's possible. We could do that as early, and I don't know, we'll have to discuss with them schedule, but the sooner the better. So maybe even Saturday we could finish it up. It'd be better to get it completely done. Get it behind us, and that would be a good thing. Amen. All right, so we're turning tonight to the book of Mark, chapter number 1, verse number 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and said unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way. Show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Amen. I want to preach tonight about a miracle, a message, and a mission. A miracle, a message, and a mission. The Lord bless you. May be seated. He was a leper. That word does not strike fear into our hearts like it would have in Bible times. An equivalent today would be AIDS. If somebody were to say, I'm sorry, but you have acquired immune system disorder, you have AIDS, then you would be shocked. Not only because of the disease and because there's no cure, but because of the social stigma that would be attached to that. Then you would, your heart would be smitten because you are a victim of a horrible, incurable, and shameful situation. This man was a leper, condemned, outcast. A leprosy takes two forms, at least in Bible times. There was a nodular leprosy that would form on the body, and it would begin to form as spots on the back, pink that turned brown, and then they would harden and grow, and then they would begin to ulcerate, and it would spread through the body and onto the face, the hands and the feet. And it was not uncommon for body parts literally to decay and fall off. It was a horrible, horrific disease, till the face became so disfigured, a person sometimes were described as looking like a lion because they became so disfigured and so gross and grotesque in their appearance. Another form was it affects the nervous system until you cannot feel anything anymore. You can break a leg or break a foot and continue to walk and feel no pain because the nerves are affected, and then the nodules begin to form. A leper would live anywhere from 9 to 30 years in that condition. And when a person was declared to be a leper, they became an outcast. They could no longer stay in society. They could not live in their house. They could not work their job. They could not go to the synagogue or to the temple. They literally became an outcast. They were in a commune all to themselves with nothing else but other lepers. The Bible uses leprosy as a type of sin because sin is also a disease that kills slowly but surely. Sin is something also that attacks your spiritual nervous system. Things that people feel guilt for in the beginning and shame, but in a time they lose all feeling and they don't feel anything anymore. And they just go on in that unfeeling condition and do things worse and worse and worse than the last, because it is like a leprosy that attacks the spiritual man. And the saddest thing about leprosy is there was no hope. There was no cure. There's only one mention in all of the Bible in the Old Testament of in under the law where anybody was healed of leprosy. Now I know that Miriam was healed of leprosy, but that was before the law. But under the law, the only person that the Bible mentions that was cured of leprosy was a Gentile by the name of Naaman, that at the word of the prophet went down to the river Jordan and dipped 7 times, and God cleansed him. But we have no mention in the Bible of anybody else ever being healed of leprosy. There was a provision, Leviticus number 14 tells people what was to be done about somebody that had leprosy and that was cleansed. But as far as the Bible record, there's not anybody that was ever cleansed. I don't know if there was or not. The Bible doesn't make mention of it if there was. But I know that when Jesus came, there was a man that came to Jesus Christ. The Bible said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Somebody somewhere mentioned to that man that Jesus Christ was a healer. And the man got the idea, and some hope began to grow in his heart. And he thought, if I can just get to Jesus, maybe he can do something about my leprosy. And so he came with faith in his heart and with hope gleaming in his eye. And he came to Jesus, and the Bible said he beseeched him and he called out to him and he kneeled down before him. And he said, if you will, you can make me clean. My, what faith. Hallelujah. What faith he had. Jesus, I know that you can heal leprosy. I have faith that you can do what maybe has not been done in the history of my people. I don't know that anybody's ever been healed of leprosy, but I believe that you can do it. My only question is, do you care enough? Will you do it? Amen. You see, he was not supposed to do that. He stepped out of the realm of the normal. A leper was supposed to begin to cry out to people while they were still distant and call out, unclean, unclean, unclean. But in his desperation and in his hope and in his joy, I think he kind of forgot himself a little bit. And you know what is wonderful about Jesus is the fact that you can approach him Anybody can come into his presence. He will not resist you. Amen. The Bible said that a broken and contrite spirit he will in no wise cast out. When a person approaches him, regardless of their condition, regardless of what's going on in their life, he will receive them. Sister Vesta Mangan one time said, God will never stumble over an intercessor. If you are in that kind of beseeching, intercessory prayer, God will not stumble over you, but he will always reach down and he will lift you up. So the Bible said, the man said, if you will, I know you can. And Jesus looked at him. Oh, he did something he didn't have to do. The Bible says that Jesus reached out and he touched him. All he had to do was speak the word. But that wasn't enough. I don't know how long it had been since that man had felt the hand that was not leprous. Maybe other lepers touched him, but everybody else was afraid to touch him. But Jesus reached out and laid a compassionate, caring, healing hand on him. Hallelujah. Do you remember when he touched you? Hallelujah. I remember when the Lord touched me. Hallelujah. And it was a touch like no other. He touched him. And then he spoke to him and he said, I will. Amen. I will. He was, the Bible said he was moved with compassion. What possible gain would he receive from healing this man? What could this person do for him? You see, a lot of people, their motive, first of all, is what's in it for me? What can you do for me? Why should I do this for you? What can you do? What's the profit for me? But the Bible said Jesus was moved with compassion. He wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about this man. And that ought to be the mission of the church tonight. It ought never to be about what you can do for me, or what you can do for the church. But it ought to be, what can we do for you? How can we minister? How can we help? What can we do? How can we lift you up? How can we encourage? Somebody wisely said, nobody cares what you know until they know that you care. We're proud of our doctrine, but people don't care about our doctrine. They want to know that we care about them personally. Amen. And then God will begin to work. So he was moved with one motive, and that was his compassion. Hallelujah. Touched him, and then Jesus said, be clean. And I like this. The Bible said, and immediately he was what? Cleansed. It's interesting that when the Bible talks about leprosy, it doesn't talk about healing. It talks about cleansing. You see, it's like sin. God doesn't heal sin. He cleanses sin. God didn't just heal leprosy, but he cleansed leprosy. Man, that must have been something. That must have been something. I don't know what stage he was in. I don't know how advanced his disease was. But I know that immediately, whatever was on his body, he was immediately made whole. He was immediately cleansed. Amen. The ulcerations dried up. The scabs fell off. And his skin became fresh. And it became clean all over again. Hallelujah. Amen. If his hair was gone, maybe he got hair back. I don't know. Or maybe his head was too perfect. Amen. But I know that immediately the Bible said he was cleansed. Hallelujah. And then Jesus gave him a charge. The first thing he said to him was, he said, don't tell anybody what I've done. Yeah, right. Amen. Do you know the best way to get somebody to tell something? You got it. Don't you tell anybody. That's like saying sick 'em to a dog. Don't you tell anybody. Amen. And then he said it's time for show and tell. You remember show and tell? Anybody have show and tell at school? He said, I want you to go show yourself to the priest. Let me tell you something. When God does something for you, you don't have to worry about whether it's real or not. Amen. You've got the proof. Hallelujah. Hey, you don't have to worry if the Holy Ghost is real tonight. I'm telling you, when you get it, you know that it's genuine. Amen. Hallelujah. There's been some doubt about it in time. Amen. I know some folks that, you know, they thought it was super profused emotionalism. There are people that literally in times past, you know, in the old days, and some of you are old, you'll remember this. But do you remember those little spray cans that you poured insecticide in, and you'd go in and you'd pump that little buddy, and then mist would come out of it. Amen. And you'd spray for mosquitoes and all kinds of flying insects. And if you had an outdoor meeting, one of the first things you did when it got nighttime, you got that pump and you went around and you started pumping that stuff. And you know, there were people that used to say that that's why people acted like they did. It's because we sprayed them with that stuff. You know what? If I could spray Holy Ghost on, I'd get me a big truck and ride up and down the street spraying people with it. But it doesn't come that way. You can't spray it on. Amen. But then pump that stuff and then spray to kill bugs. You ever tried to preach with a bug down your throat? That's why they kill bugs, so that you wouldn't get in the preacher's mouth while he was preaching. Amen. But they said, well, they spray that stuff on people. No, you can't spray this on. Amen. But I'll tell you what, when you get it, you know it's real. That's why the old timer, I don't know who it was, he wrote that old song, "It's Real, It's Real. I Know It's Real. This Pentecostal Blessing, I know it's real, it's real, it's real. I know it's real. This Pentecostal Blessing, I know it's real." Amen. He got it. He knew it was real. Amen. They egged people, threw eggs at them, threw rotten tomatoes at them, burned down brush harbors, beat them, sent them home from school, sent their kids home from school, wouldn't let their kids go to school with other kids. Hey, you know, our elders paid a price for this. I said our elders paid a price for this. They went through some persecution to bring this to us. Amen. And then by the 60s and the 70s, people started getting in all kinds of churches. Amen. There's a guy that got real popular in the charismatic circles. And he was like the apostle, and he went preaching all over the place. And he got it back in the 50s, but he hid it for years till it got popular. And then all of a sudden, he started saying, well, I've been talking in tongues for years. Well, why you been hiding it then? If you got it in the 50s, you should have been preaching it in the 50s. You shouldn't have waited till it got popular and then pop out and start preaching it. Hello? Amen. What about all those folks that could have had the Holy Ghost for those 10 or 20 years he was hiding? Amen. It's really kind of hard to hide it. You got to work at it. Even like the old elder, he was so curious, but his wife was so against this. So he snuck out of the house and he snuck down to the Rush Arbor meeting. And he crept out to the out circle of the lights, and he was standing there listening. And he got caught up in the singing, and he walked out of the shadows into the light a little bit and stood at the back. And then the preacher started preaching. The next thing you knew, he was coming down the aisle and he nailed down the old sawdust and repented, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And he started talking in tongues. Hallelujah. Full of the Holy Ghost. Next thing he knows, it's nearly midnight. And he's thinking, what will Myrtle say? So he goes home, and on the way home, he's saying, God, whatever you do, when I get home, don't let me talk in tongues. Him and Myrtle's going to know if I talk in tongues. So he gets home, and you know what? Myrtle's waiting up for him. Amen. She opens the door, and just as she opened the door, the Holy Ghost hit him again. And right there on the porch, he started shouting and talking in tongues. And Myrtle said, you went down to that apostolic meeting, didn't you? It was obvious. Well, it wasn't long before Myrtle got it too. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hey, it's real. It's genuine. Amen. Don't hide it. Amen. Let it shine. Amen. So Jesus touched him. He cleansed him. He said, now I want you to go and I want you to show yourself to the priest. Amen. You know what God thinks about us? He thinks we're a treasure. God wants to show his church off. Do you know why people buy diamonds and jewels and expensive artwork? Because they want to show it off. They want to display it. That's right. The Bible said he brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we should show forth the praises of him. Amen. God wants to show his church off. Amen. Praise God. Well you know, I don't know if I'm some. Well, you are somebody special, because he filled you with his Holy Spirit. He cleansed you and he straightens you up. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody here had a change since you got the Holy Ghost? Anybody act different? Talk different? Walk different? Live different? Amen. Praise God. Did something in your life. Let your little light shine. So he said, I want you to go and show yourself to the priest. Man. He went in there and he tells the priest, he said, what can we do for you, sir? He said, I'm here to let you know that I've been cleansed of leprosy. And I'm sure they said, right. Sure you have. Happens every day. Amen. He said, no. He said, look me over. Amen. Head to toe. And they did. I believe they inspected him. If they had a magnifying glass, they drew that buddy out. If there was any fault to be found, they were going to find it. Especially when he told them Jesus did it. That couldn't be. So man, they searched him over. Guess what? They didn't find a spot anywhere. Hallelujah. He was completely cleansed of leprosy. Hallelujah. He brought the proper offering. He brought the cedar, and he brought the hyssop, and he brought two live doves. Amen. And they took one of them, and they put it in a basin, and they killed it, and they drained his blood in there. And then they took the hyssop, and they began to sprinkle it. And they took the live bird, and they put him in there in the blood of the dead bird. And they took some blood and put it on the man's right earlobe, and on his big thumb, and on his big toe, mixed with oil. And they did all that they were supposed to do. Amen. And they couldn't find anything wrong with them. They went through the ritual of the cleansing according to Leviticus chapter 14. And they took that blood-dipped bird that was white, now crimson, and they released him into the heavens. And something tells me that when that bird began to fly through the heavens, people looked up and somebody mentioned, did you look at that bird? Look, he's been dipped in blood. Look at that crimson dove. And everywhere he flew, it was telling somebody, a leper has been cleansed in Israel. A miracle has taken place right here in our midst. And every leper that saw that bird hope would rise in his heart and he would say, there's hope. Yes. There's hope. Yes. There's hope. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, when Jesus sent out his disciples, one of the things he said, cleanse the lepers. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. But this is the first time that it's mentioned that he cleansed one. But then it became common. Hallelujah. Amen. Now I'm talking about a miracle here tonight. And I'm talking about a message here tonight. That Jesus said, I want you to go and I want you to tell the priest. He said, I want you to do that for a testimony. What was the testimony? The testimony is a greater than Moses is here. The testimony is the greater than David is here. The testimony was there's a wiser than Solomon here. The testimony was Messiah has come. Hallelujah. That was the testimony. And you know what? They couldn't argue with it. Because the man was a miracle. He was cleansed. He was whole. He was pure. And they knew it. Hallelujah. And then the guy, not only was he a miracle, and not only did he have a message, but he had a mission. Can you imagine? After he got through being cleared by the priest, he went to his family. I'm sure first thing he did, he went to his family. And they saw him coming. And he wasn't saying unclean, unclean, unclean. He was saying, I'm a miracle, I'm a miracle, I'm a miracle, I'm a miracle. I'm clean, I'm clean, I'm clean, I'm clean, I'm coming home. Hallelujah. You talk about a mission. Hallelujah. He went back to his old job and said, hey boss, I'm ready to go to work today. He said, you can't work, you're a leper. He said, I used to be a leper, but now I'm a miracle. God has cleansed me. And I'm a miracle now. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said he began to publish it much. Now, I don't know. I got a feeling that somebody here was a leper. And God had cleansed you. Did tell everybody that you saw. Amen. As a matter of fact, he had to. People would say, uh-oh, here comes Larry the leper. He said, I'm not Larry the leper anymore. He said, I'm Larry the miracle now. Hallelujah. That leprosy thing's over with. Amen. So the Bible said he published it much and he blazed abroad the matter so much that Jesus couldn't even get into town. Everybody was coming to see Jesus and they just pushed him out into the open spaces. Woo! You know, we need some of that right here. Now, I don't know that anybody here has ever had leprosy that the Lord healed. But I tell you what you did have. I'm looking at a bunch of people that were dying of sin. Amen. And I'm telling you, you were dying every day that you existed. Amen. Until Jesus cleansed you and washed your sin away. And we ought to be just as serious about telling people that Jesus cleanses sin as this man was about cleansing leprosy. We ought to be just as excited about our mission as he was about his mission. Amen. And you know what? There's a whole lot more sinners than there are lepers. There's a lot more people that need saving from their sins than cleansing from their leprosy. Amen. I can't help but believe right here in Athens, Texas, there are people tonight that are waiting for somebody to come and tell them about Jesus Christ. Amen. You don't have to save anybody. That's not your job. But what if I tell them and they laugh? So what? Amen. I've never known anybody to die from being laughed at. Amen. I've been laughed at. Anybody here been laughed at? Anybody ever been cussed? Amen. Had a knife drawn on you? Had that happen? One guy went for a gun. When he got back, I wasn't there. This is wisdom. Well, don't you believe God would have protected you? Well, He did. It gave me enough sense to get out of there. Praise God. Amen. I didn't figure I needed any more miracle. That was miracle enough. Praise God. I'm just telling you, folks, we have a mission tonight. We have a mission tonight. We need to tell somebody what the Lord has. The Lord done something mighty for somebody here. Amen. Did He cleanse you? Amen. Did He change you? Did He save you? Amen. We've got a mission. And our mission is to expose other people to what Jesus has done. I love the fact that this man, I'm telling you, one man, so influenced his community that Jesus couldn't even get into town. One man. What's the song? I wish somebody so would catch on fire. Catch on fire. Catch on fire. I wish somebody so would catch on fire. Fire from the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, that's what we need tonight. Amen. We need to get caught on fire and let folks come and watch us burn. I'll never forget. I believe it was in the late 60s, early 70s. There was a picture. I believe it was on the cover of Life magazine. It was called The Burning Man. And there was a human being that for some cause poured gasoline all over his body, took a match and set himself on fire and burned to death. And some photographer took a picture of it while he was burning. Now, I'm not encouraging anybody to do that tonight. But I am admiring the man's commitment. You may question his sanity, but you can't question his commitment to his cause. The man was absolutely, totally committed to what he believed. Amen. And the church needs to catch on fire with the Holy Ghost, with that same commitment. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And just tell people what the Lord, what great things the Lord has done for us tonight. Amen. Praise God. He's done some great things, hasn't He? Amen. We got a mission. How are we going to reach this city? The only way we can reach them is to tell them. Amen. To be example. Everywhere you go, amen, being kind, being a Christian, letting your light shine, giving your testimony, amen, giving your testimony. Praise God. I get so weary with people saying, well, I'm just human. No, you're not. You're not just human. You are human, but you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And we can get better than we are. Amen. We can't just excuse ourselves. We've got to rise to a higher standard than that. Hello? Because we represent Jesus Christ. We can't just excuse ourselves and act like we want to. Amen. We've got to rise higher than that and be better than that. Because God has filled us with His Holy Spirit. Cleansed our sins. saved our soul, put our name upon the roll. What a God we serve tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. It works. It works. We have a mission. We can't forget. We have a mission. If God just wanted to save you, He could have just taken you to the Holy Ghost from the altar. That would have been sweet, wouldn't it? Just get the Holy Ghost and boom, go in the rapture. But it didn't do that because it needs some witnesses. Ye shall be witnesses. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. It's not something optional. It's what we do. It's not something you do if you want to. You are a witness. You'll either be a good one or you'll be a bad one, but you'll be one. You can't help it. Praise God because of who you are. I like what David said in the Psalm. He said, "Lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake." Because people know who I am. Because people know what I claim to be. Because people know that I'm a Christian. He said, "Lead me in paths of righteousness because people know who I am. And they expect better of me." Amen. Praise God. We've got a challenge tonight. And we've got to rise to that challenge. Amen. Because we have a lot to live up to. Amen. I want to be a witness. Amen. I want to complete my mission. Amen. Hallelujah. God, we got a big job to do. We got a big job to do. Amen. To represent Jesus Christ to this city. Amen. To represent Jesus Christ to this city. A doctor went on a medical mission to an African village. And he found a man there that had cataracts on his eyes. And he took him into his little surgery. And he took the cataracts off of the man's eyes. And of course, when he did that, the man miraculously, as far as he concerned, he could see. He could see. And the doctor went on and did surgeries and did his business. And the next morning when he woke up, as far as he could see, there were people with cataracts on their eyes waiting for their miracle. Because that man that he healed the day before went and told somebody else, "I can see now. There's a doctor. And he took something off of my eyes and now I can see." And that one told another, and that one told another, and that one told another, and that one told another. That one, until there was a huge line the next morning. Everybody saying, "Me too. Me too. I need to see." Amen. God help us not to forget. Not to forget the miracle. Sometimes we get so accustomed to this that we can almost lose the wonder if we're not careful. We can almost lose the wonder. Amen. We can almost forget the miracle that becomes so common just living for God. Amen. We forget what it was like just a few years ago, or maybe a lot of years ago. But help us, God, not to forget. We got a mission. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. We've got a mission tonight, folks. Jesus called it a co-mission. A co-mission. Amen. He said, "I will go with you." The Bible said that He said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." And then the next verse says, they went and preached everywhere. And then I like that next portion said, "The Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following." If we go, we don't go alone. He'll go with us. And if we preach the word, He will confirm the word. We have a mission. We have a mission. God, don't let us forget. Don't let us be satisfied. Don't let us be content. But help us, God, to complete the mission. We can't rest until everybody's heard. Hallelujah. Oh God. Oh God, help us tonight to complete the mission.